Podcasting from the Garden State, welcome to another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update, presented by Stark & Stark, a 100-attorney law firm with offices in Princeton, Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, and New York. The New Jersey Legal Update is a weekly podcast providing the latest information on legal developments impacting those living or doing business in New Jersey.
This is Marty Schramma, and I'm a member of the Intellectual Property Group here at Stark & Stark, and I'm here today to talk about the Identity Theft Protection Act that's just been enacted by the New Jersey legislature. New Jersey is generally regarded as the standard bearer in consumer protection litigation and legislation with its extremely stringent Consumer Fraud Act. So it's no surprise that New Jersey's Identity Theft Protection Act gives extremely broad protection and a means of enforcement to consumers and the governmental entities commissioned with protecting those consumers. The Identity Theft Protection Act has numerous interesting and innovative facets. There is the consumer's ability to freeze his information from being disseminated by consumer reporting agencies in order to provide a safeguard against identity thieves opening new accounts with that information once a breach of privacy has been discovered. There are also the provisions of the Act that mandate that law enforcement agencies on the ground take a more active role in investigation of identity theft incidents by forcing those agencies to take reports on such incidents brought to their attention. Then there are the prescriptions against many uses of consumer social security numbers as identifiers for customers in most situations or used in commercial communications. These features of the Act are complemented by far-reaching enforcement mechanisms, broad jurisdictional requirements, and augmented damages, including treble damages and the award of attorney's fees. However, for our purposes, the most significant tenets of the Act are those that create the need for preventative compliance measures. Virtually any size business that conducts business in New Jersey is subject to the Act, including public entities. So even very small businesses have to commit precious resources towards compliance. The best way to address the requirements of the Act include the creation of a three-pronged compliance plan. First, there is the legal prong. Obviously, a business has to consult counsel to navigate the legal intricacies of the Act, such as when businesses are permitted to use or store customers' social security numbers and credit card numbers. Also, there is the question of what private information falls within the ambit of the statute. The definition of personal information covered is extremely expansive. It includes any information that identifies, relates to, describes, or is capable of being associated with a particular individual, including but not limited to his name, signature, social security number, physical characteristics or description, address, telephone number, passport number, driver's license or non-driver identification card number, insurance policy number, education, employment history, bank account number, credit card number, debit card number, or any other financial information. As you can see, the definition is extremely expansive, and it would probably not be prudent for a business to try to wade through these intricacies on its own. The second prong would be the technological prong. While analog files and hard documents can be addressed by archivists or file clerks, computer data falls within the province of experienced IT personnel. Anyone vaguely familiar with electronic data knows that simply deleting a file or email does not necessarily shield that information from hackers or those who come into the possession of a discarded hard drive. The files must be completely destroyed, which entails shredding of materials and literal obliteration of files. However, this also entails poring through your document archives to find all of the hidden personal information amongst all of your other files, a task which, as one can imagine, could prove extremely daunting, even for the most qualified IT people. Finally, the third prong would be the administrative prong. Every business must formulate a policy covering not only their archive data, but a determination of what type of personal information they are permitted to use and how long it will be necessary to keep such data. This involves a method of periodic review, and destruction of stale data, as well as strict guidelines on where the data is kept and who has access to the data. Then there must be a method of determining whether there has been a security breach, a manner of assessing whether the breach makes intrusion into the information reasonably possible, and if so, how best to give notice of the breach to the individuals affected. The statute explicitly mandates that notice of security breaches must be given to the state police and the people affected. If an affected group is large enough, the business will be forced to basically advertise the breach in a major statewide media. There is one caveat in that the statute permits a business to assess whether it can establish that, despite the breach, intrusion into the data is not reasonably possible, but that's obviously not a determination that a business wants to be forced to make. For example, coincidentally, just today a major financial institution announced that it has notified about 226,000 people that their names and other personal data were stored on a laptop computer that was actually stolen from an employee's vehicle. Aside from the public relations nightmare that this particular incident is obviously causing, it is hard to underestimate the possible exposure under various state laws that such a seemingly run-of-the-mill breach can cause, especially if the proper compliance plan was not in place at the time. In closing, there is a chance that the New Jersey Act control of these matters might be short-lived. Not surprisingly, in light of the strictures of the New Jersey Act and the different provisions of various other states' identity protection regulations, there's a push towards a federal standard that could preempt the state acts and impose uniform standards. However, whether the New Jersey Act remains controlling or a different federal standard is put into place, it is clear that a new age of consumer identity protection has arrived, and businesses that choose to ignore the responsibilities run the very real risk of unwanted attention from law enforcement authorities as well as the plaintiff's bar. If you would like to talk any more about the New Jersey Identity Theft Protection Act, feel free to contact me at Stark & Stark. The number is 609-896-9060, or you can email me at mschrama, M-S-C-H-R-A-M-A, at stark-stark.com. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's installment of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark & Stark. And be sure to join us each and every Friday for another insightful discussion. We'd like to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Stark & Stark and the services we provide, email us at podcast@stark-stark.com.